and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The president gives a major address on the economy today.
That's right.
Hour number three, we'll go to that live. What does the right think about President Obama's handling of the Somali pirate crisis? We will talk to Republican tool Rich Galen.
You know what? He's the least tooliest of the Republican pundits, I think.
Strategist.
Whatever.
And you know what counts?
My right-wing cat toy for today, Rich Galen on the Celebrity Hotline.
He laughs at your jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have him.
Which is more important, the puppy or the resolution of the pirate situation? We will talk to liberal columnist.
That's a tough one.
Ellis Hennigan about it on the Celebrity Hotline today as well. I vote for the puppy.
Sasha and Malia, you have earned the new puppy that's coming with us to the White House.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Uh-oh. Okay, Obama.
The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy?
Oh, what about that puppy?
I do hope.
Back to the puppy.
The dog. This is a major issue. I think it's generated more interest on our website than just about anything. Americans.
They're ready for us to get
They are ready, basically.
I do hope that doggies for sale.
Because that's what people care most about. The puppy. What about the puppy? Yay. Thank you, Shano. Oh, dear. Puppygate continues. We'll tell you what the ASPAC, the Humane Society.
What?
I was going to say ASPCA, but I was thinking of the event Mama's doing April 25th. Here in Los Angeles, come out and join Mama for the wagon walk thing.
Yeah.
Go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com.
That's right.
In the meantime, the other, all the rage is teabagging, which is not related in any sort of Rick Santorum way. What I'm saying is, Bish.
Did Rick Santorum say anything about teabagging?
I don't think so.
Anyway, if I could have my fun facts music, please. Bish writes, Dear Stephan the Mukage, I just made the mistake of looking up teabagging on Wikipedia. Thanks, Chris, for bringing this to my attention. I'm going to need a healthy dose of therapy and or booze to get the images out of my head. I wanted to share with you some of my somewhat different teabagging experience. While working as a bartender at a small college bar in Ashland, Oregon, I became acquainted with a group of Samoan football and rugby players that had a habit of asking me to put their drinks behind the bar for them whenever they left their seat. When I inquired as to why, they explained that they could not leave their drinks behind when going to the bathroom as their friends will teabag their drink if it was left alone.
Oh, no!
Thankfully, this act of placing one's into an associate's drink was usually done under the table and out of sight. The tradition continued that the victim, after taking his next drink unaware of the offending act, would have to buy the next round. While this kind of behavior in a public bar would usually cause one to be kicked out, I never had the, teabags to voice my protest as they were, Samoan. And I think, as we've mentioned previously on the show, Samoans are large.
Yeah, yes.
P.S. Needless to say, these guys don't drink a lot of frozen daiquiris. That would be significant shrinkage.
A. Okay, there would be significant shrinkage. And B. I don't think rugby players drink daiquiris.
No.
They don't drink
I love a thing of our thing.
Yeah, no. Uh-uh.
Who's up for Cosmos?
I can't wait for the scrum.
All right, listener Ken in Cleveland has gifted us with teabagging for two.
Eight for two, two for three, eight for you, you for me.
And I want to talk to you about what these tea parties are.
We know all about it.
We're here for the teabagging.
What teabagging?
Eight for two, two for three, eight for you, you for.
What, is this going to be a bunch of Thurston and Loving Howells rioting?
And far-right people want to get together and teabag.
But the whole thing sounds a darn Democrat.
Eight for two, two for eight, eight for you for me.
Harry, no teabagging, you know the rules.
I was not involved in any inappropriate conduct.
Not on foreheads.
I apologize.
The Tax Day Tea Party Movement, brought to you by Fox News.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Ken. Oh, that's romantic. All right, let's, This story is just that's the main reason to report it, is just a snicker. Yeah. Like 8th graders.
And you know who it's, I was just reading a report online from thinkprogress.org.
Mm.
You know who it's being funded by?
Mm.
The likes of ExxonMobil, Scaife, you know, the
guy. Richard Mellon Scaife.
Richard Mellon Scaife, yes. And, yeah, people like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where all the secret money is coming from this grassroots.
Uh-huh. This internet phenomenon?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Fox News. Okay.
And they also bought website domains and made them look like amateurs, put them together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You need professionals to make them look that amateurish.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
I thought I made it up, but Paul Krugman got there first, called AstroTurf rather than grassroots.
Yes.
All right, let's check some entertainment news. Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, Fabio blamed for wrecking Ferrari.
No wonder I haven't seen him around the gym lately.
He works out at our B Celebrity Gym.
That's right.
Italian male model Fabio wrecked a Ferrari belonging to World Class Driving while driving the sports car near Calabasas, California. He apparently took a turn too fast on Mulholland. You can't do that.
Not on Mulholland.
That doesn't end well.
No.
Lost control and struck something off the road. I don't know if it was a goose, but... Specific details. You remember he was struck in the face by a goose.
Yes.
At some point. Specific details regarding what he struck in Saturday's accident were not reported, but we have Fabio's thoughts, I think.
Mother Nature has blessed me with being beautiful. Well, sometimes she gets jealous of her glorious son. So she takes me down a peg now and then just to show who's boss. The first time was when I got the goose to the face when I was riding a roller coaster. Fortunately, my head is made of the purest Carrera marble and I was not hurt. But I should have taken heed. This time she did not fool around with waterfall, but she still used the goose. A great big hairy one at that. Little did I know, as I took that splendid Italian speed machine to run its paces, that George Clooney was hiding in the back seat with evil intentions. Everything was fine at first, my long flowing locks dancing on the wind. I was looking good. The machine was growling like a jungle cat. All was right with the world, and then it happened. I was sailing around the curve and felt a great big Irish thumb go between my perfectly sculpted nether cheeks. And I shrieked like Gina Lollobrigida getting a new pearl necklace from Carlo Ponti. The car flew out of control, and if I'd not collected my wits in a split second, we both could have been wrecked, and the world would have lost a gorgeous Italian racing machine. And the Ferrari would have been damaged, too.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm the Sully Sullenberg of racing cars. Addio.
And finally, the headline, a legendary porn star Marilyn Chambers is dead.
She's only 57. Yeah.
I know. Was found dead in her mobile home.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way my obituary is going to read. Former Itchy Kitty dancer and failed radio personality Stephanie Miller was found in her mobile home.
Weighing 700 pounds.
Exactly. Okay, surrounded by her 75 dogs.
Yes.
And 43 boxes of wine. Marilyn rose to fame after starring in the X-rated classic Behind the Green Door. You remember that in 1972. Mm-hmm. Who do we have?
The mayor of Santa Clarita.
Oh, yes.
We mourn the passing of our most famous resident, Marilyn Chambers. Those of us of a certain age remember her as a groundbreaker, an inspiration, and a boon companion in our hours of need. From her innocent visage on the detergent box to her nimble antics on the silver screen, she lifted us, swelled us with pride, and helped us plumb the depths of the mysteries of womanhood and stand proud and puffed up with our manly prowess. Accordingly, we shall not only lower the flags of the city to half-mast, we will ourselves lower our own personal poles and dip them in mourning. To soothe the fever of grief that possesses us, we shall use the traditional salve of ivory soap and water mixed to a pasty consistency and salute her passing again. And again, and again, and one more time for good measure. Marilyn, we knew ye hardly.
Jim, there's an equation that we use in show business.
Yes? Tragedy plus
time. Equals comedy.
What time is it?
Well, okay.
I think that's why he did that, you know, sort of obligatory, that's very sad, so that he could do that bit.
Okay.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, fold roll.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. Check out the tile ad, what we're calling it now.
Yes.
On the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. It'll take you right there.
That's how you know something bad is coming. That's very sad.
That was sad, especially on this show.
Lord.
But it made you snort.
In a completely unrelated Skank Biscuit story, Sienna Miller has been voted less sexy than the Queen.
Who's Sienna Miller?
She's that hot actress with the blonde girl.
With the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
From that movie.
Yes.
That time with
she has been
guy.
Faced by the well-known skank biscuit, Queen Elizabeth.
Okay.
Who I imagine is amused by that.
I find it very amusing.
All right. Trouble in Paradise stories.
Sorry. Forgot the royal
wheel. Mel Gibson's wife has filed for divorce. They have been to...
So even ultra-right-wing conservative Catholics can get divorced.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Yes. He is the extra crispy bucket of Catholic.
I thought they were against that.
Hmm. Aren't they also against adultery? There is no prenuptial agreement on Mel Gibson's fortune, estimated at about $900 million.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, any picture I've seen of them in the tabloids in recent years, she doesn't look very happy.
Apparently, they haven't lived together since the whole fracas, you know, with the sugar bits.
Yes.
Oh,
bits.
They haven't lived together since then.
The incident there in the...
In the PCH.
Jim Ward calls me that all the time, and I consider it a great compliment. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. How sweet, aren't they? Oh, dear. And noted Dr. of Bullology, Dr. Phil, I don't know. This is from the National Enquirer. Dr. Phil's wife, Robin, is writing a tell-all book that exposes his darkest secrets, according to sources.
Including the fact that he's a doctor of...
Bullology? Yeah. I don't know if she'll mention that or not.
Did you come across any deep, dark secrets when you were on the Dr. Phil show?
No, I did not.
Oh.
I found him to be delightful.
Okay.
I feel guilty even reporting the story on the Stephanie Miller newscast. She will reportedly get a whopping $3 million. You know what? I could be the next Mrs. Dr. Phil.
There you go.
that'll happen.
He seemed to take a shine to me.
Mm-hmm.
Phil believes he's being...
until he gets to know you.
Listen, I am a Dr. Phil show.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
I'm a walking Dr. Phil show. He could do a different show every day on me.
Getting to know all about... Oh, my God!
Oh, my God, you are a mess. she's supposed to get a whopping $3 million advance. Phil believes he's being betrayed, said a friend, but at the same time, he feels he's almost powerless to stop Robin. Their marriage has been on shaky ground for some time. He thinks if he demands she not write a book, that she will dump him for good. He's apparently very persuasive, though, Jim, being a noted doctor of...
I'm a doctor of bullology. I have no degree of any kind in anything useful. And I'm still married to the skank who's writing a dirty book about me.
Okay.
How's that working out for me?
Not so good.
No. Jim says no.
Okay. The Tom Kitten is going to attend Scientology school.
Boy.
That's when, she's going to get thetan enhanced. She's three. The Tom Kitten Suri is
heading.
They're
going to beat the suppressive and glib right out of her.
That's
exactly,
right.
Exactly. There's nothing more glib than a three-year-old. let's see. The cruise is planning to send her to the New Village Academy in Los Angeles, a school run by trained Scientologists, and lists study technology as a key curricular focus.
Mm.
That's a, you know, there's nothing more fun for kids. There's ice cream and then study technology.
Eaters.
The school is, speaking of fun, the school is particularly strict about nutrition, demanding a low-carb, low-sodium, low-sugar organic diet.
Oh.
Eat up, kids.
Yeah, kids love that.
So Sloppy Joe's without the bun, I think.
Exactly. 20 minutes after the hour, Scotchmore Celebrity Stack, and then all the latest on the new pirate activity.
Oh, there's new pirate activity overnight.
Nobody say R.
R.
Sorry, right. Couldn't help it.
Back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Listen up, boys. Matthew McConaughey has some sex secrets for you. He says in the new issue of...
First be Matthew McConaughey.
First of all, that would help.
Yeah. Yeah.
My friend and I were on a plane once that he came on and our jaws just dropped. We just...
Did he start doing push-ups for no reason? I've heard he does that.
He's disturbingly. The only man more disturbingly pretty, Gavin Newsom in person. Matthew McConaughey says, my dad, could I thank you? My dad taught me if you ever make a move, whether it's for a kiss or touching her, down there, you know, in the air area, and you feel the slightest bit of resistance, stop. A lot of times after you stop, then they're going to say, now it's okay. Don't. That time, that day, that's as far as you go. You do that, and you know what? Women do come back. They say, what? Nobody stops. They want to go out with you again, and eventually you don't have to stop.
Was that even English?
I don't know. I don't think anyone's ever told Matthew McConaughey to stop, so I don't even know. I
probably told him to stop talking, but...
Yeah,
shut up. Shut up and touch me.
That was like a word lasagna or alphabet soup.
I've been studying the Sarah Palin technique.
Oh, Lord. All right. Paula Abdul's dog eats sweaters.
What?
She went to a high-end Santa Monica pet store. The wagging tail, she brought her pet chihuahua Thumbelina.
Oh, my God.
Ah, oh, boy. She chewed on two sweaters. Paula had to pay $116 for the damaged sweaters that the Thumbelina ate at the...
That's why they don't allow pets in stores like that, generally. I guess, unless you're a celebrity.
Exactly. That's why. Why do they have those things in the big bins? Like what dog's going to go, oh, no, I'm not going to eat a rawhide out of the big bin.
Who takes their pet to the store?
Well, I would if my pet wasn't 1,000 pounds.
Right.
Swedish songwriter Björn Ulvaeus, you know, the ABBA guy.
Björn Ulvaeus.
Exactly. He wrote the ABBA tunes mm-hmm. for the movie Mamma Mia. He is opposed to a sequel. What? No.
It's not going to be a sequel.
As we shouldn't do a sequel now. We've moved on to other projects. No. I loved Mamma Mia.
Did you really?
Oh, love it. Loves me some ABBA.
With Pierce Brosnan singing?
See, now we've opened the ABBA floodgates. When you get to Waterloo, you've gone too far. Be stuck in your head all day. We apologize. See what I'm saying?
And then you get to...
And then that's it.
Yep.
Mamma Mia is just a gateway to get to Waterloo. Okay. All right, Amazon.com has decided that all gay books are adult and must be classified as such. They have stripped the sales ranks of almost all gay and lesbian books on their site, including Brokeback Mountain, A Boy's Own Story, The Well of Loneliness, all the classics. Asked what's up with that by a number of authors, Amazon sent out a form response. In consideration of our entire customer base, we exclude adult material from appearing in some searches and bestseller lists. Since these lists are generated using sales ranks, adult material must also be excluded in that feature.
Huh.
Yeah. So
okay. Does that include Harlequin romances and stuff? Because that's adult?
Anything that has the gay on it, according to Amazon.com.
Oh, even Heather Has Two Mommies? Would that be considered...
Her daddy's roommate? I don't know.
Would that be considered adult?
This should be put in the porn section. Bobby Jindal got a book deal. You know why, Jim?
Why is that?
Because Americans can do anything. Oh, I can't wait for the audiobook.
Yeah. Great.
28 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on the pirate situation as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, you are a catch, young lady. You know that?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, the other breaking news today, by the way, just in case you hadn't noticed.
I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
This thing sucks!
Al Franken declared the winner in Minnesota.
I mean, is that it? Is that or
no?
No, of course
Norm
not.
Coleman will appeal until hell freezes over. He lost his appeal quite some time ago, according to the voters of Minnesota.
And quite a few people have had to recuse themselves. So
yes.
It's going to be four judges. So if it's a tie,
yes,
it could conceivably go on forever.
And one of the judges on the Minnesota Supreme Court gave money to Norm Coleman's
campaign.
That seems like a little bit of a Yeah, that seems recusy.
Yes.
Okay, the president yesterday on the pirate situation. Barack Obama yesterday.
I want to take a moment to say how pleased I am about the rescue of Captain Phillips and his safe return to the U.S. Coast Guard this weekend. His safety has been our principal concern.
And he went on to praise the U.S. military, taking no credit for himself, by the way.
I'm very proud of the efforts of the U.S. military and many other departments and agencies that work tirelessly to resolve this situation.
By the way, can I have my hail to the chief? Jim, you know who really rescued Captain Phillips? George W. Bush.
Right. What? Of course, it's only logical.
You know, of all the incomprehensible right-wing ramblings lately, how's about this guy? He's a right-wing blogger. You know, Dana Perino said that the recent, what did she say, the uptick in the economy, anything, that's George Bush.
That's George Bush, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Retroactively.
Okay.
And yet you still think she's cute.
She is cute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll find this guy's name. Does it matter? Oh, Andy Martin. Pardon me, Andy Martin.
And he's with?
I don't know, we would know him from.
And this would be regarding?
Mm-hmm. George W. Bush, I want to thank him today for the rescue of Captain Richard Phillips, held hostage by Somali criminals and rescued by the U.S. Navy. Wait for it. The captain was rescued by George W. Bush's Navy, not Barack Obama's Navy. Today, I am alone,
yes.
In all of America's media, in singing the praises of President George W. Bush. He rescued Captain Phillips. The quote-unquote Navy, that's a Navy in quotation marks, that was able to respond in the Indian Ocean was a Navy created by the Bush administration.
Does created have quotation marks around it, too?
No.
No. It should, probably.
I think the Navy was created in the 1700s.
Yeah. While Bush may not
really
have...
George Washington's Navy.
Yeah.
While Bush may not have maintained as large a Navy as I would prefer, he kept our seafaring capabilities at a high level. Barack Obama wants to devastate the Navy.
No.
No, he wants to increase funding for the Navy, you tool.
And reduce our fleet to a handful of tugboats and dinghies. I must have missed that speech.
That's a lie.
The quote-unquote Navy that Barack Obama is trying to create with his proposed defense programs would not have been able to rescue Captain Phillips.
You see? Yeah.
If Obama had been in office long enough to succeed with his plans for the Navy, there would not have been a successful rescue.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is what they got.
There would not have been.
The liberal media, of course, are desperately trying to, quote-unquote, spin the captain's rescue as a, quote-unquote, victory.
The captain's rescue
for the, quote,
quotation marks around every word.
For the, quote-unquote, young commander-in-chief who had yet to prove himself to his generals or his public. Obama has said nothing about cleaning out the land-based Somali pirate nests, and he won't. They are Muslims. connotation there would be because he's a Muslim, so he wouldn't.
What a moron.
Mm-hmm. Under Obama's Navy, Captain Phillips would have been sitting in captivity for months. Barack Obama proved he is the new Jimmy Carter.
Huh?
What?
Obama sent a strong message to both our friends and enemies. When there is a crisis or conflict, he will hide in the White House basement until it's safe to emerge and claim victory.
What the hell?
This guy's going to have a groin injury from such a stretch.
You see, that's where he stays in the White House because that's where the... you know, the war room is in the central command and where you communicate with the captain. Okay.
Huh.
His feckless behavior did not deter future attacks on Americans. He has encouraged them.
Right.
And so, today I praise the real hero of yesterday's victory, President George W. Bush, who kept America militarily strong and left behind a Navy with the capability to rescue Captain Phillips. Thank you, President Bush. I salute you, and every man and woman in uniform should salute you. Thank you, President Bush, for rescuing Captain Richard Phillips. This is really your day, not Barack Obama's. Andy Martin, far-right-wing lunatic.
And
he's out of Chicago.
No.
I'm amazed he knows how to work the typewriter with the TV on it. He's...
Lurleen showed him how to get all that in the big box.
Only it's with a Chicago accent, not a Southern accent.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
How do you really...
This is really Millard Fillmore's Navy.
Yes.
That's the guy we should be thanking today.
Yes, apparently.
Not that Muslim gay.
Melissa in Manassas, Virginia, on the Amazon.com, classifying all gay books as adult material.
Yes.
Hello, Melissa.
Hi, they
also classified a bunch of, there were some Harlequins that were classified as adult. There were some just straight romance, erotic romance, but they did leave sexual devices, Jenna Jameson DVDs, all kinds of X-rated stuff was not delisted.
That's not adult. Okay.
No.
Sounds like there's a little bit of hypocrisy going on at Amazon.com.
Well, they have started relisting a lot of the books, so they put them back into the
Apparently, section. All gay sex is adult, and listen, I know some gays that are pretty immature, so I don't know that I would necessarily. Oh, no.
There's some dirty parts in James Joyce Ulysses.
That's right.
That probably should be listed as adult.
Wow. Wow, speaking of right-wing tools, Newt Gingrich on Saturday, remember before the rescue, he tweeted that, frankly...
How appropriate, frankly.
President Obama is making a major mistake.
It's not just a verb.
Forcefully outlining the rules of civilization for dealing with pirates. We look weak, he wrote.
Frankly...
What? That was before the rescue. The former speaker was asked via Twitter how he felt after the rescue. He didn't respond directly.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
but then he pointed to a tweet earlier today. He said, "All the Navy SEALs, because the Navy SEALs they just act on their own. There's no commander in chief, as you know.
Not at all.
Not in Obama's Navy."
Just freedom
it's just Navy SEALs is running around, just woo, just Harry Carey.
Rogue. They're going all rogue on you.
Just all cattywampus.
Yeah.
Not taking orders. They're just all,
Oh, look.
He said, frankly, the Navy SEALs did exactly the right thing in rescuing the American captain.
Frankly.
President Obama did the right thing in allowing the Navy to act.
Allowing?
Frankly.
Yeah.
He gave the order.
No, he just allowed. That's how Obama's Navy works. He just allowed them to do their work.
Okay, well, it's George Bush's Navy, remember. So he allowed George Bush's Navy to do their thing.
Okay.
Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson, Arizona, on our right-wing blogger friend. Hello, Lavender.
Hello, Mama. Hello, Moop.
Hello.
I just wanted to do a little bit of spot-checking on that guy. He said the president was feckless.
Yes.
Ah, because he would know, because he's full of feck.
Yes.
He is feckful.
He's all fecked up.
Thank you.
Yes, if you will.
Dave in Chicago on the pirate situation. Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. I heard a right-wing caller yesterday say, they negotiated with those terrorists. They're not supposed to negotiate with terrorists. And I'd have to agree. They negotiated them to death.
Yes, they negotiated with one bullet per brain. Boy, oh boy. Wait till you hear what some of the right-wingers have to say about Obama's handling of the situation.
Yeah, Ron Christie.
Unbelievable. All right, 42 minutes after the hour, right back.
He would have missed all three shots.
Jim Ward.
Jim Louise Ward.
He would
have hit his own boat, probably.
Ron Christie, as we all know, is the right-wing pundit with a great big vision for America. Who is cross-eyed?
Gladly the cross-eyed bear.
Huh? Sadly, he failed his Navy sniper test, I'm told.
Yeah. Maggie's drawers every single time.
He hit something, just not what he was
aiming for. Stop it right now!
42, they start with the side of a barn, and then if you can't do that, then you don't move on to the next level of Navy SEAL.
I told you to stop it!
42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. It's 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Atlanta on far right wing blogger Andy Martin thanking George Bush for the rescue of the captain in the Somali pirate situation. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steph. You're a great American.
Thank you.
Hey, get Sean a plane. I figured maybe that would work for you, too.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll be getting my plane any day.
I was looking at his website, and this guy is crazy, but he's crazy like a fox. Andy Martin runs a website called BoycottHawaii.com.
Why must we boycott Hawaii?
Well, because, of course, they're hiding the truth about where Barack Obama was born.
Oh.
But he's raising money to fund a trip to Hawaii. So he can go and research this.
I see. Yeah.
And he wants to
you got to spend a lot of time on Kauai to be able to really get to the bottom of that socialist Muslim plot.
He needs 7 days in May, and he's raising
many for Operation Aloha Obama 2.
Yeah, I understand the only place you can adequately research that is that I think it's the Princeville Resort on the bay in Kauai. And
well,
you need to stay there for
to
at least...
Well, flea bag places, but these hotels are really expensive, so he could really use some donations to help
okay,
him out.
All right, we'll get on that.
Are you getting money from this Princeville Resort place?
No, I was trying to think of somewhere fancy on Kauai.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I remember walking by it on Kauai. I couldn't afford to stay there.
Okay.
I was like, wow.
Like,
that
okay.
place is nice. That's probably like that's what he'll say the vault is that holds the actual Obama birth certificate. Happens to be under a 5-star resort in Kauai, and he must stay there, you know, as long as it takes.
Sure.
As long as it takes to find out the truth.
Yeah. I'll bet you it's underneath a coconut tree.
I betcha. The ones they make the tropical drinks with.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So we were talking about the Somali pirate situation. And just when you think, I mean, could it have been handled better? I don't think so.
No, couldn't have.
So Ron Christie, who Jim is correct, would have missed if he were a sniper. I'm just saying.
How do you know that he doesn't see straight? I mean, it may look like he doesn't see straight, but...
He has a big vision for America. That's the important thing. He, on the Situation Room.
The thing that I'm a little bit concerned about is the way that Obama handled this. For the first several days, Wolf, he didn't say anything. I think
right.
the American people...
Right,
no,
come on.
I think the American people wanted their president to say, we're looking at this situation, we're very concerned about what's going on, we reach out to the family, our hearts and prayers are with the family. But by saying nothing, I think it makes him look almost a little politically opportunistic to see which way the winds are going to blow. Short term, again, success. But I think people are going to say, is this the way that we want the president to deal with serious challenges.
Yes.
By getting things done instead of talking about it. Boy.
Yes, I think the American people want the president to grandstand and saber rattle and inflame the situation.
God, what an idiot. Does CNN really think that this guy has his finger on the pulse of America?
Keep booking these morons.
I don't know.
I love that, right? They always say, I think people are going to say, no.
No. You hope people are going to say that, but they're not going to.
No, you just said it. Nobody else is saying that. I mean, that's what's hilarious. Like, one poll after another comes out proving to be the exact opposite of what any of these right-wing pundits say.
Oh, but they don't listen to the polls.
Yes.
They just know.
No, because they're principled.
Yeah.
All right. Despite the fact that the pirate situation ended with really the best result possible, the pirate's either dead or captured, the captain's safe, Bill O'Reilly just got a bad feeling about it. He got a bad spidey sense.
Get the feeling that President Obama is tough enough. Does he really understand that he, as the president, is going to have to kill people? He's going to have to order the deaths. He looked very, very restrained today to me.
He didn't swashbuckle enough, Jim. He didn't swagger quite enough. He didn't sound cowboy-y enough. He should have done a little end zone dance, a little towel snapping, a little something. That would have been better, because Bill O'Reilly knows, because Bill O'Reilly is a man. All right.
Bill O'Reilly.
Was a man, yes, a big man, with an eye like an eagle and as tall as a mountain was he.
You don't want restraint in the president, Jim. You want unnecessary war, and the more of them, the more the better. Okay.
Wow.
What does that mean? He looked too restrained. Okay.
We should have been shouting like a madman jumping up and down. And
yes. Veins popping like Bill O'Reilly. Because he was, doing it live, so he should have seen more manly. More manly and pissed
do
off.
Do it live!
Pissed off.
I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Yeah!
Thing sucks!
Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, he is a foxpert.
Yes.
He's a fox military expert.
We're treating it like a law enforcement issue.
Yes!
We have 3,000 years... of history of dealing with pirates in Western civilization. And it was never a law enforcement issue. It's always been a military issue, and only military solutions ever work.
Really? Interesting, Jim. Here's a pop quiz. We tried a military solution to catch Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar. What happened there? They got away.
We got goose egg. Zip, nada.
Okay, Bill Clinton treated as a law enforcement matter the people that did the original World Trade Center bombing.
Yes, they're in prison now.
Yes, they're in prison now.
Wow, these
Wow. Only military solutions work. Yes, and Iraq is a shiny example of that, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's continuing to work, and will continue forever and ever and ever.
The person online, too, says that only military solutions work.
Oh, good. Pete, my right-wing love muffin in Texas. Hello, Pete.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask what kind of military background you and your cohorts there have.
I have no military background.
Okay. How about the individuals
nope.
that are also common?
I was in the Civil Air Patrol for about 5 minutes.
I went to Boy Scouts on Langley Air Force Base. That's about the only military
background. They were too young to have served in Vietnam, Pete. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'm not even talking about Vietnam. That's any kind of military service is what I'm looking for.
Okay, so how would we have to have military service in order to judge this a success, this military operation in the Somali situation?
To demonstrate an expertise on military matters, I think.
Okay, what am I missing? Because I'm not an expert like you. So what am I missing in the Somali pirate situation and how it was resolved?
Well, there's a lot more to the training involved than just when the man steps in the office, it's his military. Yeah, it's his watch. However, the training is according to what has been in place for a great many years before that person ever set foot.
Yeah, but who gave the orders to shoot?
Well, you know, John McCain has a military background, and he has a pretty bad anger management problem. I'm not certain I would have wanted him handling this situation.
Oh, I would have. I want somebody that would decisively, without, you know, bouncing around.
What
trying to
would you have him do
how
differently?
How did Barack Obama not handle this decisively? How did he bounce around?
Well, I think I would have probably taken him out a lot sooner. I wouldn't have waited for the Justice Department to say, "Oh, it's a criminal matter, not a military matter."
We kind of have laws that we kind of have to follow.
In maritime law, the U.S. law just doesn't.
Yeah, but the order was given on U.S. soil, sir.
Barack, the military asked for the order. The president gave it twice. The military executed the maneuvers when they felt it was the correct time.
Right.
So what? How did the president? How could the president mishandle that?
It's not.
It ended successfully, but it didn't. It didn't end successfully soon enough for you. Is that what you're saying?
My son just got back from dealing with pirates over there. He's in the Navy right now. I spent 14 in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with the ones that they captured on his ship, they turned them over to the Kenyan government as per the Obama agreement. When they did that, they were set free because there was no evidence that would support prosecuting these individuals. There were three shiploads of pirates that my son's ship took into custody. And when they turned them over to the Kenyan government, they were all let go because, as per the solution.
Are you on a ship-to-shore phone, Pete?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. All right. You know, here's the thing. We have no information if any of that is correct.
So no, we don't.
We can just... All I know is that we killed three of the pirates, and one of them we are going to prosecute.
Mm-hmm. I guess he wants us to nuke Africa. That's the solution.
Or as Paul Begala suggested yesterday, George Bush would have done...
Attack Burkina Faso. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At any rate, what I'm saying is that we're obviously prosecuting the fourth captured pirate. So
yes.
I don't know anything about turning them over to Kenya. I'm not sure what the situation was he's talking about. That's the problem, right? They just throw out a bunch of stuff that you're not sure if it happened or whether you can confirm it or okay.
Well, yeah.
All right. That was fun, though. That was Pete from Texas.
But had you served in the Navy, you would know that.
Yes.
You just know everything
you,
about.
With your paltry... What was your experience?
I was in the Civil Air Patrol for
yes.
5 minutes. I learned how to...
And Chris rode in a plane
it.
In front of a supermarket once. Huh.
What? No, I attended Boy Scouts on Langley Air Force Base in Virginia.
What help are both of you? Mm-hmm. All right. Right-wing tool Rich Galen coming up
he's
next.
He's not a tool.
With more right-wing claptrap on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What's more important, the Somali pirate situation or the puppy? We'll ask our liberal columnist Ellis Hennekin on the Celebrity Hotline next hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller.
And you know who we have on the show tomorrow?
Huh? Who?
Frank Rich.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I love him so much. One time he wrote this one thing.
So do I have to guess who he is and guess wrong several times?
No. I'll just tell you now.
Okay.
It's Frank Rich. Okay. David in St. Paul, on our right-wing friend who says we don't know what we're talking about because we have no military background. Hello, David.
Yes. How come you're not in the military? No, I'm just kidding. Anyways,
I'm serving my country with fart jokes, my friend.
Okay, thank yes. you. I'm wondering how many times that guy calls Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and wonders about their questions, their military experience.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
I have one more thing here. Yes. Jonathan Harry on Common Dreams has a great. I think the pirate thing is a symptom of what's happening in Somalia. These people, you know, apparently they're fishermen that are protecting the waters because there's no functional government in Somalia to do that. Countries have been dumping hazardous waste, medical waste, and also stealing, you know, all their seafood and fish illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, I'm going to guess
not that they want it after they poisoned it.
I'm going to guess mentioning any nuance in association with the Somali pirate situation will be considered French and gay
by
right-wing tools. If only there were one that would call now. What? Who is it, Chris?
The proprietor of Mullings.com, GOP strategist Rich Galen.
It's our favorite right-wing tool. Good morning, Rich.
Did it have to be French and gay, or just one of the
I mean, I'm willing to. I know that you're going to blurt Castro out in a moment too. So
I think both of those is uber kill, but
yeah.
So according to some of your right wing friends, the handling of the Somali pirate situation and the president's new dog are both too girly.
Nevertheless, no, I thought that the handling of the Somali. I mean, I wrote a column about this the other day. What's today? Tuesday, Monday, for yesterday morning.
It's hard to remember what right-wing claptrap you wrote what day, isn't it?
Because we're still on the Gregorian calendar. So it's hard to remember exactly where we are in the modern era.
Yes, yes.
It was titled Rules for Pirates, and one of the rules, I mean, a really good rule if you're going to be a pirate is don't screw around with Americans. I mean, you can take all the Italians you want, and we do not care.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you take French people, then we'll, you know, we may kick in a boat or two.
Ha, ha, ha. You got your French joke in. Okay.
We're not going to do a gay joke, though. But but that's really the issue. I mean, there have been over 66 attacks on ships in the Gulf of Aden since the beginning of the year. I think 14 actually have been or still are being held hostage, the ships. But nobody paid attention in America until an American captain was taken off the boat, and then it wasn't piracy, then it was kidnapping, and that's what caused all this to happen.
Mm-hmm. But seriously, how can you criticize the president's response?
I thought it was absolutely right. I mean,
right.
He didn't want to raise it. I think they did it perfectly. I don't understand why people, you know, what they want him to do, you know, strap on a 9 and hop into a boat and go shoot somebody. I mean, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They gave the appropriate orders. They left it to the tactical commander. They brought in the right guys, the SEAL sharpshooters, and they killed the guys.
Yep.
Happy ending all around.
Yes. Rich, you are not nearly right-wing crazy enough for my entertainment purposes, but I enjoy speaking with you nonetheless.
Well, you know, everybody's got to have their cross to bear, and I'm it for you.
So your thoughts on Puppygate, on the president's new puppy?
You know, I'm pleased that you and Newt agree on something. I think you had a mark that down on your calendar.
What's that?
This is really silly. I mean, every president gets a dog. I mean, the Clintons had a dog. The Bushes had a dog. I mean, the Obama's got a dog. And whether or not it's a function of the overwhelming ability of people to make news because of blogs and cable and what have you, that, you know, just getting a dog isn't good enough. Now it's got to fit the absolute definition of what's a politically correct dog, which is a dog that was otherwise going to be euthanized at a shelter that the first family has to get and actually rescue. Had they done that, they would have been attacked for kind of, you know, for playing to the puppy rescue squad. So, I mean, when you get into these situations, if you're the president, you just shrug your shoulders and say, girls, here's the dog. You have to walk him.
Yes. Well, you know, I that's the thing with us progressives. I am a dog rescue. You know, did I ever tell you my Sean Hannity story?
You rescued Sean?
Well, no, Sean is beyond rescue.
He's not
house.
Yeah.
Blame for that crap.
Yes. It's a sort of a touching story. Can I have my touching story music? We are actually both. That's one thing we share is that we are big dog lovers. And so when my dog Chester died, he heard I was very upset and called me to say he was sorry, and he offered to buy me a dog. And that's where the conversation went awry. I said, we're progressives. We rescue dogs, you capitalist pig. And I hung up on him. Click. Slammed down my 1940s telephone, and that was, you see? You see how it ends with you right-wingers?
It is. You know, it's just so hard to try to find common ground with you people. We reach out the hand of friendship, and what happens? You slap it and turn away. I mean, I just don't know what to do, Stephanie.
I'm just shocked by this story.
So what kind of dog do you have now?
I have I rescued a Great Pyrenees, who is 1,000 pounds.
And about half of that comes out every day.
Yes, that's my job.
So you are for or against the...
That's sort of what you do professionally. You have to pick up after the other right-wingers that leave little piles.
I'm so happy not to be on defense every single day as I have been for the last 8 years. So you are opposed to the president's choice of dogs?
I think he snuck in under the wire because it was technically rescued. It didn't work out in another home, technically, and Ted Kennedy gave it to him. So how can you know, you got to sort of, but I'm just saying it's just there are obviously millions of pets killed every year. And so, I think it would have set a really good example to rescue a dog. But
see, that's what I mean. There's no political correctness enough for you.
All right, Rich. let me say, screw you. Anyway, in the most politically incorrect way possible, let's talk about the economy. I assume you're also not of the Rush Limbaugh, I hope he fails variety, but it seems to me there are glimmers of hope that things are looking up in the economy.
Well, you know, this is going to be the worst possible interview because I'm going to more or less agree with you again. I said,
yes.
I mean, I was on Fox, I guess, on Saturday, and the woman who is the studio host, whose name I have thankfully forgotten, was just offended that Susan Estridge and I both agreed about this glimmer of hope thing. And I said, the president didn't stand up on the table in the cabinet room and start singing "Happy Days Are Here Again." He said there are glimmers of hope, and I think there are. I mean, this morning there was bad news on the consumer front again, but this is going to bounce along for a long time. I think the big deal is that the bad news isn't cascading over us every single hour of every single day. But the problem for the administration, and this is just a technical issue from a professional political standpoint, is that unemployment is a lagging indicator. I mean, it could lag by as much as 6 months.
Yeah, well, it always does, right? It lags behind the rest of...
What they're facing is, I mean, Rahm Emanuel's really good at this stuff. And what he's looking down the road at is about June of 2010, when people sort of lock in their minds what the economy is doing. And if unemployment is still at 9.5%, 10.25%, whatever it will be by then that's really bad for the administration in the midterms, even if the economy is beginning to creak upwards.
Well, you know what? You can always hope. Rich, speaking of Rahm Emanuel, I will send you a dead fish if you don't get more ridiculous by the next time you're on.
I really apologize. We have to talk in advance.
Yes,
we really
you need to get
on.
Much more right-wing Thule. All right. Rich Galen, Republican strategist, which is a dying business. We give him a little work here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Rich, we love you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Rich.
Okay, have a good
one.
Yay!
If your indicator lags for more than 4 months, consult your doctor.
It's hard to hate a right-winger who's funny.
He's chuckly.
Yes.
All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee! Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Stand-up news today brought to you today by ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
Absolutely.
Our top story, oh goody, Bobby Jindal's getting a book deal. Woo-hoo!
He can write?
jingle. Yes, because Americans can do anything.
Hmm.
He said the book will be a mix of biographical material, lessons I've learned throughout my life, and his thoughts on a range of policy issues. I can't wait for the audiobook.
Hello, I'm Bobby Jindal. Welcome to my book on tape of my book, which is entitled, Hello, I'm Bobby Jindal, and this is my book, which is entitled, Things I've Learned Throughout My Life, and My Thoughts on a Range of Policy Issues. It is a book which is about things which I have learned throughout my life, and also, too, my thoughts on a range of policy issues, which are issues concerning policy, of which there is a range. My father told me when I was a boy, Paiush, he said, because that is my real name, Paiush, he said, Americans can do anything except monitor volcanoes, which is crazy voodoo witchcraft. Much like the so-called fossil record, which, as we all know, was created by God to test our faith 200 years ago when dinosaurs and humans coexisted. Also, too, abortion. I'm against it. What else? Taxes. Don't like them?
No.
Jobs. We need more of those. Tax cuts. Not magnetic levitation, which is also crazy voodoo witchcraft. Also, Americans can do anything. The end.
Oh, that's going to be a page turner.
Yeah. I bet you that will be the name of his book. Hello, I'm Bobby Jindal, and this is my book. I feel like this is the theme to Gary's show. Remember the old
yes.
Gary Shelley?
Oh, I love
theme
that. Song. This is the theme to Gary's show. The opening theme to Gary's show.
Gary's show is starting now.
Yeah.
And finally, the headline is, Schaumburg Public Library bans offensive body odor.
Oh, gad!
The director of a suburban Chicago public library says her facility will not admit visitors whose personal body odor interferes with others' activities. For some reason, former Congressman Denny Hastert had some thoughts on this. Oh, yeah.
I hope to spend my retirement years relaxing, keeping out of the public eye, and tending to my organic meat garden, harvesting pork chops from the vine, eating chickens that have been passed over for the glue factory, and generally having a high old time. But I have to step forward and speak out against the travesty being perpetrated by the Schaumburg Public Library, namely the prohibition of body odor in the library building itself. Now, who in Schaumburg is stinking up the joint so bad? The only thing anyone here smells of is a glorious aroma of cured meat products. That's right, the servalat, liverwurst, chunky garlicky kielbasa can sometimes lead one to leave a trail of meaty vapors in one's wake. So what's the big deal? Is this all of a sudden a vegan library central? Haven't these pie-ass librarians ever taken a field trip to Reuben Schneider's house of meat to dive into the summer sausage? The Thuringer ring, out of great funky fermented meats there are in the world to give us pleasure. I'm going to introduce an initiative requiring a certain level of consumption of garlicky spicy sausage for every government employee. If anything, it's those damn vegans with their satanic sulfurous farts that are polluting the public libraries. If you're in a public space, God forbid, on the yellow rush hour, and it smells like Beelzebub just opened the portal to the bowels of H.E. double hockey sticks, I'll bet you dollars to donuts. Donuts. Dollars. Jellyfill. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I'll bet you a case of Old Style that it's not a homeless guy making that funk. It's one of them broccoli munchers are cutting one. So next time one of those holier-than-thou turf champers lectures you on the evils of sausage, remind them that they themselves are a major source of greenhouse gases and will probably be pretty tasty ground up with some garlic and cracked pepper. Hey, I'm all about recycling and sustainable whatever. Al Gore to give me a freaking medal. Just saying. Sausage. Oh, that's good. What a Lipitor chaser to keep my blood from going all chunky on me. Chunky blood sausage. Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, called Rawl.
Jim Ward's apocryphal, but true. There's a tile ad right there at the thing, the
StephanieMiller.com.
StephanieMiller.com.
Thank
you. Yeah, I'll take you right there.
Pirate revenge.
Arr.
An American congressman in danger in Somalia yesterday, and more pirate attacks. We'll be back with all the latest as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Chris.
What?
I've been freaked again. That guy didn't even tell me I was pretty first.
Oh, no. Did he at least use
the right-wing caller that said he was in the military and his son was in the military, so right away you can't say anything. But, you know, he had the whole story about, oh, pirates took his son's ship, and then they have to give him to Kenya because of Obama, and then they all go loose.
Yeah.
Julian Seattle writes, staff, last night I heard a Foxpert saying that Obama had no right to try anyone because under certain treaties the pirates must be turned over to Kenya, where, of course, they all get loose. So that's the only way to solve things. You've got to nuke East Africa. Right?
Oh, okay.
So that guy heard that on Fox News, you see, and then called the Progressive Radio Show this morning to tell a little story about how you see. Okay.
Hmm.
All right, let's go to Bill in Chicago with a response to our free for. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, and I'm a liberal, but you are pretty.
Thank
so
you.
Just to get that out of the way.
Thanks.
Hey, I've been through two wars. This is for our little cowboy Bob, wherever he was. You know, we're a constitutional republic, and as Rush Limbaugh likes to point out, constantly a nation of laws.
Yes.
We're not a military junta.
Yes.
So the military just doesn't go off and act all rogue and tough and do whatever they want whenever they want, however they want to do it. So.
Yes, thank you. Let's go to Joe in Long Beach on our caller. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, I'm quite sure that your caller didn't spend 14 years in the Navy. You know, he did. It was probably more like 14 days, and it was probably all below deck filling potatoes.
now,
speaking of potatoes, you know, why is it that all these guys who have a build like a sack of potatoes, whether it's Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or Jonah Goldberg, have a need to go out and pontificate and bluster and try to talk like tough guys? Steph, I've known a couple of tough guys in my life, and they were all confident enough and secure enough in themselves that they didn't have a need to go out there and just shoot their mouth off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, according to our right-wing caller, we didn't shoot the pirates soon enough, and that's why it was girly and French.
Yeah, I got an email from a friend of mine yesterday, said, why didn't Obama act on Friday? Because conditions weren't right for him to act on Friday?
Okay, Hannity.
Why? The only question would be if he didn't allow the use of force. As far as I'm concerned, this would be standard operating procedure. And it seems like the media wants to hold him up and say that this was Obama's decision, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And I don't see that this is extraordinary in any way. If there's Americans being held hostage and we've got a shot, you take the shot, you save your hostage.
Yeah, and if it had gone wrong, you probably wouldn't have reported on it at all on your little show, would you?
Actually, Bernie Goldberg pointed that out to Sean Hannity yesterday.
He said what?
He said, if it had gone wrong, you would have been all over this 24/7.
Exactly.
So, and Hannity didn't know what to say. He kind of sputtered.
And I'm guessing if it had ended this way and George Bush was president, it would have been 24/7 tributes to Commander-in-Chief George W. Bush.
Yeah, these guys, no big deal.
They would have had special graphics, patriotic music.
Oh, yes. They would have preempted all
of
the programming.
We don't know all the details of what happened.
We don't.
It was prudent to take them out, as they say,
that's when
on
the,
day one.
When the vice admiral...
They might have killed the hostages.
Exactly. That's when the vice admiral said they should act. And so Obama gave the order. 28 minutes after the hour, back with more on this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You like a bitch or something?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kevin in Chicago on the Somali pirate situation. Hi, Kev.
Hello, beautiful mama and handsome mooks.
Hello. Oh,
as handsome as they can be for me. You guys aren't wrong often. I listen a lot and love you guys a lot, but you're wrong on this one. If George Bush was the hand list, he'd have attacked Ethiopia.
Yes, you're completely right. All right, thank you. Sorry. Paul Begala said Burkina Faso. Yeah, but somewhere that's not the right country. Daryl in San Bernardino, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. I think President Obama handled this exactly how he should have. I think that guy, if he was really in the military, he may have been. I served in the Army. He would know that the rank structure, you don't call the president by his name. You call him president, just like you call a general general and a captain captain. So if his son would have been on that ship, I'm pretty sure he'd have been happy with the result.
Yeah, exactly. Hard to argue with the result. Bill, a Republican love muffin in Pensacola, Florida, agrees. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Stephanie.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Republican. I spent 24 years in the Air Force, 14 of it in Special Ops, and I can tell you that I give President Obama on this one an absolute A+.
Thank you, sir.
He did everything right. I mean, people don't realize this planning started the minute that captain was taken.
Mm-hmm.
Obama gave the orders way back then. He didn't give the orders the day the shooting took place. He gave it way back then, and then he did the right thing. He stood out of the way, gave the military their mission, and let them do it.
Well, you know, I assume, Bill, and I'm not a military expert, that, you know, doing it right away might have been rash. You've got to assess the situation, I'm sure. You're right, there's a lot of preparation that has to take place, right?
It's not like you're driving a Miata or something. You don't just pull in there. I mean, it takes time to get a ship in there. The snipers parachuted in from somewhere else. I mean, it takes a lot to do something like that, and it's not going to happen overnight.
Right, and I understand, Bill, and I understand, I don't know if you read a lot about the operation, but I also understand that part of what caused the result was the negotiation that took place, that they got this one pirate on the other ship to negotiate, and that's how they were able to, I think, get close enough and get sight lines, and there were a lot of, I can't remember all the details, but do you know what I'm saying? The situation developed to the point where then the admiral said now is the time to act, and Obama gave the order.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. I mean, you're sitting there negotiating. I didn't think Obama was doing enough at first. I mean, I didn't think he was negotiating enough. I mean, it was kind of, he kept it quiet. But another caller said.
But you wouldn't know. I mean, Bill, we shouldn't know, right? I mean, how would we know what the president's doing? That's the point.
Exactly.
He shouldn't be on TV talking about it.
Yeah, and I think his reaction to it, the one that said something about how he didn't react properly, he reacted like any man would who gave an order to kill three people. I don't care how despicable the people are or anything. When you give an order to kill three people for the first time in your life, you're going to be somber.
Yeah, and you don't want a president gloating and smirking like George Bush had a tendency to do, you know?
It's different personalities than that, but Obama acted perfectly in this incident. I'll tell you, I'm not an Obama supporter.
Bill, you are a fine American, though. I thank you for calling.
But I do give him an A on this. Thanks.
All right. Bill, you're a fine American mostly because you agree with me. I appreciate it.
Call me a muffin.
You are right-wing love muffin. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's what he was looking for.
He wanted muffin-tude.
Yeah.
Yes, Chris, you have some fun facts, do you?
Well, yeah. We got an email from listener Brian in Mississippi, and he says that the international accord that requires captured Somali pirates to be turned over to the Kenyan government for trial was agreed to during the Bush administration.
Oh, no.
And so, I did a little research to fact-check that, and yes, indeed, it was agreed to in 2006.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
That'll trip him up on the right.
Much like the tax policies were devised during the Bush administration.
Yes, the Tea Parties are technically protesting George Bush's tax policies.
Absolutely.
Oddly enough. Tim in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the pirate situation. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I look at it this way. I'm wondering if the right wing wants to turn this into another Iraq. You know, go into Somalia and just take over or try to take over, which I'm sure wouldn't be that hard, but still. It's that what I'm getting from, or the vibe at least I'm getting from the right wing. They feel that Barack didn't do enough, that the president didn't want to do anything, wanted to stand back. And,
right. Tim, I don't know about you, but I would like, as you know, what Obama talked about during the campaign is it tough but smart foreign policy, mm-hmm. and in this case, effective.
Very smart, very effective. And I mean, the last caller even admitted he's a Republican. He doesn't support President Barack Obama, but. He said, yes, I agree with him. He gave him A+.
Right.
Why can't there be more right wings like that who would actually swallow their pride a little bit and say, listen, we don't like him, but he did a great job.
Right, You know, captain is home safe. It's the outcome we all wanted.
I had a question, Jim.
I'm not a military expert, but why didn't we just have the Mossad take Saddam out with one bullet? Why didn't we just do that, for instance? You know what I mean? Nobody was saying Saddam's a great guy.
It was never about Saddam Hussein. It was about oil, Operation Iraqi Liberation, and also making huge amounts of money for Halliburton, KBR.
I hear you. Stan in Nebraska with some Andy Martin, the far-right blogger who says George Bush is responsible for the rescue of the captain. Hello, Stan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome from the reddest of the red states out here.
We salute you. We salute you from our blueness.
Oh, thank you. Just did a little quick research as an old historian. USS Bainbridge, from which these shots were fired, was actually ordered in 1998 under, I believe it was, Bill Clinton.
Oh, so it's Bill Clinton's Navy that rescued Captain Phillips. I'm sure they'll correct that on the right.
Yeah. And the Navy SEALs, the three guys who fired these unbelievable shots, son of a gun, they were authorized 1961. Was that guy Kennedy? Was that his name?
Oh, goodness.
That's right.
Other Democrats.
Goodness.
Son of a gun. So a little more research on their side.
Thank you for those Navy SEAL fun facts. We appreciate. All right. Oh, Sean Hannity on the pirate crisis.
The White House steered clear of the pirate crisis. Until that is,
what?
The president swooped in to take all the credit.
Steered clear of the crisis, meaning he negotiated in private as negotiations should be, so as not to inflame the situation.
The sad part is there's a huge swath of dump in this country. People will actually believe that crap.
Yeah.
And the president, at no point yesterday or in his original statement, took any credit whatsoever. Interesting.
God.
That's swooping. That was swooping, you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie in Madison on Obama. Hello, Stephanie. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, guys. You know, it doesn't matter what Obama does. They just find a way to attack him and say, you know, the pirates or you know, when he was his overseas, you know, Europe, everybody loved him. I've just had it. I've had it.
Yep.
You know, it's just they're grasping at straws. And
I mean, that's the thing. I think that's what we, you know, Jim was just saying. I don't know what Sean Hannity's show is going to consist of at some point. You know what I mean? It clearly, by almost any barometer, was a triumphant overseas trip. The Somali president, you know, pirate thing couldn't have been resolved any better.
The president cured cancer today. Was that a wise move? Are we going to be horribly overpopulated without cancer?
Sean's show will just be just a vast wasteland, just tumbleweeds of
even
talking,
more than it is?
Little paltry talking points and.
Oh, God.
Sort of the whole big edition of, you know.
And thanks for playing Grasping for Straws.
Robert in Los Angeles on the Pirates. Hello, Robert.
This is a sad day. You know, Rush Limbaugh predicted failure. I can't believe this man had a successful outing.
Who? President
Our
Obama.
President, of course. Yes. He was successful. How is Rush Limbaugh going to explain to his followers this success when he wants them to fail?
Yeah, I don't know. Do we know how Rush is spinning this? Who cares?
I haven't.
Who cares? All right. So Somali pirates hijacked three more ships.
Yes.
Was this yesterday?
Early this morning.
Yeah. And also, they fired mortar shells at the plane carrying U.S. Representative Donald Payne, a Democrat of New Jersey.
Yeah.
The plane did depart safely, but 19 Somalis from surrounding residential areas were reported injured.
You know what? He probably shouldn't have been flying around Mogadishu in the first place. Just saying.
Yes. Pirates had been threatening retaliation. Representative Donald Payne yesterday.
Illegal activity must be dealt with. If you don't deal with criminal behavior, then it'll continue. If there were no piracy, U.S. forces would not have had to intervene. And so I think that any country, any company have a right to protect itself and to protect its employees and its citizens. And so the action of the United States was not inappropriate. Piracy was inappropriate.
I would have taken a little pause before I took a look-see over in that area,
mm-hmm.
if I were him, but Donald Payne yesterday.
Action of the United States was not inappropriate. Piracy was inappropriate.
That is true.
Okay.
We are happy he's safe. 43,
yes, we are.
43 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the latest on the pirate issue as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Unfreaking believable.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
So you're wearing your dress whites, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Welcome to it. Yes. 48 minutes after the hour. That right winger that questioned our military experience.
I own a peacoat.
I worked at Old Navy for a couple of weeks, so there.
I've been on the submarine ride at Maui.
I dressed as a sailor 1 year for Halloween.
Robert and Rupert, pardon me, in Seattle on the president. Hello, Rupert.
Good morning. I think that President Obama's personal valet should dress the president in a Jack LaLanne jumpsuit replete with a large cod piece or a baked potato stuffed down the front of his trousers and have him posing on a rowboat bow while being taken across the Potomac with a large banner proclaiming mission actually accomplished.
Yay!
All right. Jerry in Delray Beach, Florida on the president. The president and the pirates. It's the new series. Hello, Jerry.
Nah.
Arr.
Yeah, that's what I swear. Do people actually have any idea what animals these pirates are? But you know, really, the one thing that's on my mind that's bothering me is that, you know, here we go again with another country whose lawlessness everybody thinks we need to be getting into. And I wonder how many of our ships actually traverse that area compared to other countries where saying that, you know, basically that this maybe is something the UN needs to really seriously sit down and make an issue of.
Right.
First of all.
Well, there are currently, what is it, about 200 ships being held by pirates. I believe it was three more were captured yesterday.
Once again, it's another thing, you know, a matter of lawlessness or lack of democracy in a country where why are we the only ones that are sticking our snouts into it? Speaking of snouts, about dogs.
Hello, Captain Segway.
I'm with you. I personally think there should be a moratorium on dog breeding in this country until there are a lot less of them. I say the same thing about children, but I don't think that anybody should be able to make a career out of breeding dogs. I don't think it's ridiculous.
Oh, we're going to hear from the dog breeder people now. I just think we got to figure out how to have, you know, less dogs killed. Dogs
really,
and cats killed every year.
You know, that was still a rescue dog. A miniature pincher.
He got it under the wire.
There's a breed specific rescue service for just about every breed.
Yeah.
I got a 9 month old beautiful miniature pincher with papers that would have cost $1,300.
Yeah. No, I got I have a Max. He's a beautiful Great Pyrenees, and I got him from a rescue. But you know, and you're right. His whole litter ended up at a rescue because the people that were going to be breeders, something happened in their family, whatever. So the whole litter ended up there. So you're right. There's a million different ways to get dogs, including
pure breeds. Some idiot online saying something about the fact that because this dog was returned to the breeder, it's not a rescue dog. Well, you know what? That dog at 6 months old, wouldn't have brought the price that it would have as a puppy. And what difference does it make? The dog still needed a home.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Yeah, I just have I'm not a military expert, if you don't count the time at Old Navy, but I have a thought, because we just mentioned the 200 ships that are being held and the three more yesterday.
Yes.
Why don't they just make them slipperier? Huh? Has anyone thought of that yet? How about you just Vaseline the sides or something?
Okay. I think that was tried in the Civil War and it didn't work.
How about lubing it up? Something. Okay, the president.
I want to be very clear. That we are resolved to halt the rise of privacy in that region.
He meant piracy.
Piracy.
Yes.
Did he say privacy?
Yes.
Oh, his bad. Okay.
Bless his heart.
You know,
although
I'm
it is privateering.
We could send a Cotilla, couldn't we, from West Hollywood with with Astroglide? With
send
a
what?
A shipment of... And you
a what? Send a what?
A flotilla of something.
You said Cotilla. What's
you
a Cotilla?
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Send a cotillion out there. Good heavens.
A something. Can't you, something that, because even if they have those things where you repel, grapples, they grapple up the side of ships. Make them slipperier. Come on. Who's with me here?
Well, you can't send a flotilla.
Is this thing over? It's not over.
You can't send a flotilla of anything from West Hollywood because it's a landlocked city. There's no body of water to float
we
anything
can get
on.
Them to water, for God's sakes. All right. The president talking about preventing future attacks.
We're going to have to continue to work with our partners to prevent future attacks. We have to continue to be prepared to confront them when they arise, and we have to ensure that those who commit acts of piracy are held accountable for their crimes.
Okay,
over,
if he comes out today...
Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is! Was it over when the
Germans bomb Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the toughs get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Chris, you know how this show gets ripped off. I swear to God, if the president in a half an hour at his press conference says, and by the way, we need to make the ship slipperier, you know what? There's going to be hell to pay because you know where he got that from.
I don't think he listens to this show. He has better things to do.
Colonel Jay in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Colonel.
Hello, Stephanie. You know, I listened to that Wing Nuts this morning in the drive into the office, and what I realize is that the Stephanie Miller Show needs its own military advisor.
Would that be you?
That would be me.
Are you an actual colonel?
I am a retired lieutenant colonel for the United States Army, helicopter pilot, Gulf War,
awesome.
And taught command and general staff.
Thank you for your service.
Well, you know what?
You are the official, whatever all that was you just said, of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right, the official, because I actually flipped between MSNBC and Fox yesterday, and they had some guy, you know, who was two steps to the right of John Birch, someone ghost wrote a military book. I've never heard of this guy. And they pick up these experts, and they just don't have the credibility. My question to the caller from Texas talking about Obama's military experience, you know, this country was run for 8 years by Dick Cheney, who never served in the military.
Yeah, thank you.
And was Secretary of Defense. And actually, Donald Rumsfeld only served in the Navy for 3 years. He did his little hitch. So I have to question, you know, where they drudge up these guys. To talk about military matters because it seems
well,
to me like
take?
They've been out of touch.
Right.
Well, first of all, you know, I don't think the president went through this without having Jim Jones, his national security advisor, right by his side. Now, here is this leatherneck, four-star Marine general who's going to guide his president every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Secretary Gates. I'm sure he had his national security of counsel right there throughout the entire 5 days saying, okay, what do you think is the best way? If this president acts the way that people have said he acts, where he listens, he got the very best advice. And frankly...
Right, and this is what the Vice Admiral you know, recommended. They, you know, because I'm sure if you follow the situation, the negotiations were actually going well for a while, and then what happened is they broke down, and you know, they felt the captain's life was in imminent danger. They had an AK-47 at his head, and that's when they gave the order.
Well, it was textbook. It was a textbook operation. These people bought enough time. You know, within the first 48 hours, you know, they must have assumed, or they must have had at least the foresight to say, look, these guys aren't going to shoot this hostage. And what they basically did was wore them down. It was beautiful tactics. It was absolutely perfect. And then, you know, the fact that we found out later that these SEALs, God love them, they parachuted into the water. They spent 48 hours in the water. They were shadowing them in probably those Zodiac boats, whatever they
So imagine their fingers were all like raisiny on the trigger. They were all...
Well, those were the three on the Brainbridge, but the SEAL, you know, as soon as they picked off those three, you had SEALs coming right in to take care of the, the other one. So they were shadowing them in the water.
Right.
That's amazing.
It was.
Really are national heroes.
Not the Snickers.
Absolutely.
The
and you know what? And I didn't hear this. I didn't hear our president, you know, take any praise for himself.
I know.
He
not a word.
Everybody. And it just, I left the service in 2002 because I could not serve under George Bush as a commander-in-chief.
Colonel Jay, you are the smartest military girl in class today.
Yeah.
Okay, 57 minutes after the hour. Liberal columnist Ellis Hennekin, the president's press conference on the economy, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We will go live to the president's press conference on the economy in just a bit. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. Like fine American Bob in Akron did. Hi, Steph. How is it these right-wing wankers criticizing Obama were so silent when George W. Bush failed to give the go order when the special forces had Bin Laden in their sights
exactly.
in Tora Bora? We had several soldiers who were there come forward saying the only reason we didn't get Bin Laden at that time is because they couldn't get Bush to give approval. Also, the silence from those same people was deafening when early in the Bush administration, the Chinese illegally seized one of our surveillance aircraft flying in international airspace, and Bush did nothing. The Chinese were able to disassemble the aircraft as Bush impotently rattled his saber. Who knows how many of our military secrets the Chinese got out of that. In the end, the only thing Bush did was apologize to the Chinese. So there, Bob in Akron.
Actually, Tora Bora
was the smartest boy in class
was
today.
Worse than that. I mean, I heard a guy in 60 Minutes say that they were ordered to stand down. That they were on their way to getting Bin Laden, and they were ordered to turn the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know.
So what's that about?
Some of our listeners, like Bob from Akron, make good points just as amateurs. If only there was someone that does it professionally that we could. What? Who is it, Chris?
Columnist for New York Newsday and Fox News contributor Ellis Hennigan.
He's a professional.
That's right.
Hey.
Good morning, Ellis.
I'm very excited about Bo. I just want to make that clear right off the top.
Yes.
You need to get. I understand. I'm a puppy person myself. You need to get the puppy out of your system before we get to the Pirates.
The only thing I'm worried about is Sasha and Malia need to be warned. This dog came from Ted Kennedy, so maybe they want to put something a little stronger than water in the bowl. Yeah.
Now, let's. Come on now. There. So, what do you make of the whole puppy gate? Is it a rescue dog or not?
It's not a rescue dog.
Sort of.
I mean, it's like
slightly
a
used.
Rescue dog. But listen, come on. The little girl is allergic, for God's sake. What do you want to, have some big hairy mutt in there and then make her little eyes water and sneeze all day long? I know, that would be torture. Certainly under the Geneva Convention, that would qualify.
Oh, come on now. They don't. I understand those dogs in Abu Ghraib were not labradoodles.
It actually does remind me. Now, I know he's trying to be a good dad, Barack is, right?
Yeah.
And, he wants to be sensitive to the needs of the kiddies. But, listen, no guy, let's be honest here, no guy wants a labradoodle or a Portuguese. when he was at the G20, right, imagine, Aunt Angela Merkel shows up with her growling shepherd, right? And there's Barack with his, allergic-free dog. Those dogs.
Yeah, to be a fly on the White House wall, I bet you that was Michelle. I'm progressive. I am not getting a labradoodle.
Absolutely. Because at the next G20, those dogs are going to get into it. They're going to be having Porty a la King for dinner, and you try explaining that to Sasha and Maria.
So, it is amazing, because I know you're on, you venture into the lair that is Fox News quite regularly. It is amazing how could this Somali pirate thing have gone any better? And yet somehow they're spinning it like it didn't.
It is. I mean, listen, if you start out with enough venom, you can find bad in anything. I mean, seriously, this is like foreign policy crises do not go any better than this. If this didn't satisfy you, you truly are unsatisfiable. Bang, bang, and they're gone. I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that.
Right, right. Well, except that Bill O'Reilly, to him, it just didn't feel macho enough. Did you
get the feeling that President Obama is tough enough? Does he really understand that he is the president and is going to have to kill people? He's going to have to order the deaths.
Oh, he did.
He looked very restrained today to me.
Not enough bluster for Bill, Ellis. Not enough saber rattling. Not enough macho towel snapping.
I mean, there's three dead guys on the deck. What do you want?
Yeah. Three bullets, three dead pirates. Don't know how you get any more.
If this doesn't satisfy your bloodlust, believe me.
Yeah.
No, but negotiating over North Korea will never please you, I promise you that.
Yeah, because nuance of any kind will never please you.
Listen, come on. You've got to have a great feeling about it. When one engages in armed piracy, one has to understand that there are risks involved in that, and quick and sudden death at the hands of sharpshooter SEALs is indeed one of the risks. But no, listen, it was great.
I hope I die like that. It's quick and painless.
That's true. It's not a bad way to go, although I would not recommend armed piracy for you, Steph.
Yes, I know.
Well, you'd be bad at that.
Listen, with the state of the economy and radio today, Ellis,
it may be our last option, I know. So are you getting excited? Are you getting excited about the teabagging?
I beg your pardon, sir. Yeah, how about your friends at the Fox News and the? They're reporting on this spontaneous grassroots uprising that is brought to you by Fox News.
You know, I do love it. I mean, it spreads around. I do love the idea of all these folks on the right becoming strict constitutionalists, right?
Yeah.
They found something that somehow we're not supposed to pay taxes. I mean, where were they? Where were they when Dick Cheney was wiping his bald head with the Constitution?
Right.
Where
yeah.
were they at Guantanamo?
Yeah.
Where's all this strict construction constitutionalism?
Yeah, I love that. Paul Krugman points out they're calling him a socialist on Fox who seeks to destroy capitalism. Why? Because he wants to raise the tax rate on the highest income Americans back to about 10 percentage points less than it was for most of the Reagan administration.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great test on this. I mean, those who were saying this ought to stand up and begin one by one explaining how they would like their parents to renounce Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not been, despite all of this socialism talk, right, there has not been, certainly no one in the leadership of the Republican Party, I mean, maybe that you could find some wacko somewhere saying it, but no politically important Republican or conservative has yet stood up and said we should end Social Security and we should end Medicare, which are by far the largest, quote, socialist policies in our nation. And thank God we have them. I mean, all modern nations are some mix of capitalism and social programs, and I think most of them are working out pretty well by and large.
Mm-hmm.
The Navy SEALs were funded by tax money.
What?
You know, that's a
fire
real,
them. Fire them all.
How much does one bullet cost? I mean, seriously, so far we're down three bullets.
Wasteful spending.
Yeah. Ellis, what was I going to say about, speaking of the teabagging and the Fox News, how crazy is that Glenn Beck? You've probably met him in person, haven't you?
I have. The guy's a brilliant broadcaster. You know, those of us who do this stuff for a living can recognize performance technique when we see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, the guy's getting great numbers. His radio show is on a lot of places. I mean, I don't agree with much that comes out of his mouth. But, you know.
Let me give you one little radio fun fact. As you know, a conservative show can get on a lot of radio stations no matter how bad it is.
Oh, cool. No doubt about it.
Because there's a bazillion conservative stations.
Right. The fields are very different, and the business is very different. But, you know, listen, I am not in the business of saying that people ought not to say stupid stuff. I'd rather answer the stupid stuff.
Right.
I thought the guy fainting on the show, was that yesterday or the day before? He had a guest who fainted in the middle of the conversation, which sometimes I do as a viewer, I will admit.
I have been known to fall in a pool of my own sick while talking to Sean Hannity. But,
honest to God, you know, again, I know you feel the same. I mean, rather debate it than to silence it. You know, in the end, guys, we're winning.
The
Republican Party is further being marginalized. Conservatism is completely at a loss. The fact that they're doing these Tea Party things tomorrow is like the seventh thing they've tried in the last few months. None of them are catching. This is not going to have any long-term impact.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Just keep doing what you're doing, guys. It's working great.
Yeah, exactly. We're enjoying. Well, we'll buy the popcorn. Ellis Hennekin, you are delightful as always. Thanks for taking time for us.
Well, let's have a coffee clatch next week. See you later, guys.
It's not as good as teabagging, but it's not as good as a tea party. But a clatch. All right.
You want a teabag with Ellis Hennekin?
Yes. And in he is cute. And in Madison writes, hey, Mama, since the right wing seems not to have any sense of the meaning of certain phrases such as teabagging, let's infiltrate the ranks and suggest some other protests they might want to try. How about protesting illegal immigration with Operation Dirty Sanchez?
No.
I bet you there's a lot of things we could slide under their radar.
Oh.
You could have Lou Dobbs complaining about the attack of the...
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, right-wingers wouldn't know what Dirty Sanchez is.
Did you?
Maybe we could do something about global warming and acid rain, Operation Golden Showers. You know what I'm saying? There could be a million things that we could slip in there.
Did you see Anna-Marie Cox on Rachel the other night?
No,
no.
What did she say?
We're just with very, very serious, stern discussion of teabagging and repeating it over and over again in a very serious manner, as if it were a grave...
Actually, people who are going to these tea parties tomorrow have taken to calling themselves teabaggers. Seriously. They are so oblivious as to what that is.
If they knew how to work the Internet's machine, they might have stumbled on that Wikipedia.
We need to think of some other operations we can trick the right wing into doing. Come on.
Oh.
things we can actually say on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we're skirting it with teabagging and Dirty Sanchez, let me tell you.
How about they don't like vegetarians? How about Operation Tossing Salad? All right, you know, speaking of right-wing comedy.
Dancing near the edge here.
Okay.
FCC is on its way down here right now to pry that license off the wall.
You'll take it from my cold, dead, bloody hands. Speaking of right-wing comedy, how about that Palin Family Feud, huh, kids? That's getting better and better.
Levi Johnson on the Tyra Banks Show this past week. The interview gave fresh meat to folks at MSNBC and others who attacked the Palin family.
It's the Palin versus the Johnsons. Ready for action. On your mark, let's start the Family Feud.
Were you practicing safe sex?
Yeah. Survey said.
Oh. Every time you practice safe sex?
Every time.
Levi.
Most of the time. Survey said.
It is unfortunate that Levi finds it more appealing to expose his previous relationship with Bristol than to contribute to the well-being of the child.
I have nothing good to say about Levi Johnson.
Flat out lies.
Diana and Gal.
Thank you, Shano. Oh, God. Speaking of right-wing comedy, Jim, you'll want to get a ticket for this now. Glenn Beck has announced his comedy tour.
Just reading about that. That should be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to cry?
He calls his act a poor man Seinfeld. And intends to mix topical humor with his modern-day reimagining of Thomas Paine's Common Sense. So that'll be really...
Oh, my God.
He's a comedian, you know.
Oh, is that what he is?
Mm-hmm.
He just said what everyone's thinking.
Okay.
Maybe he'll just be reading the script to Major Paine.
Dave in Chicago. That'll be Paine for sure. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on teabagging. Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. Hi, gals. Yeah, the teabagging. The right-wingers know exactly what teabagging means. They know exactly what it means. They named that on purpose. What they're doing is they know how we're going to react on it. And people like you guys on the radio and stuff, and you talk about it, they're taking your audio and they're going to play it on their shows. They already did Rachel Maddow and Anna Marie Cox. This guy, Andrew Wilkow, I listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a righty. He got a 15-minute bit out of playing that, talking about Rachel Maddow and Anna Marie Cox. Listen to these dirty-minded people. Can you believe it? You know, what they're doing is making a bunch of full outrage then, and, you know, they're taking your audio bits and they're playing it.
Yeah.
They're brilliant. They really are
yeah.
brilliant.
Oh, that's so
brilliant. Scared. That's yikes. Yeah. You're kidding. I would never have thought of that.
They're joking about something serious as teabagging. How dare they?
All right. Yes.
Listener Jeff wrote to me and said, how about we get them to protest the Ohio Union of Carpet Cleaners and organize Operation Cleveland Steamer?
All right, stop it.
What?
Stop it. Christopher Louise LeBoy.
What?
20 minutes after the hour, back with more on teabagging and the economy and Castro. Sorry. Been watching too much Fox. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We're just enjoying ourselves reading huffy right-wing websites this morning. Jim, who's Janet somebody that's all huffy about the White House organic garden?
Oh, it was Janet Brown?
Yes, well, she's very good.
Some chemical company is appalled that they're having an organic garden and not covering it with toxic chemicals.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the chemical companies are up in arms because it's organic.
It's just a little bit of cancer. You'll be fine. It's just an endocrine disruptor. What could possibly go wrong?
Eric in Chicago on the pirate situation. Hey, Eric.
Arr. Hi. Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Sorry, I've just been waiting for a while. My question about this is...
I'm worth waiting for, Eric.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you.
My question about this is, the United States and all of our allies, we still operate with huge navies. and they have no one left to fight. So why can't we just, like, station 20 destroyers outside of Somali waters and international waters and just escort all the transports through?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or, alternatively, Eric, my plan, and that is make the boat slipperier.
I heard that. Yeah.
I think it's a love. I'm a love not war kind of person. I a little love potion on there, a little motion lotion,
a little
joy jelly, something. Just love those ships up, and the pirates will just slip right off of them. Splash! Crisis over. Okay.
Probably not practical. Since boats are in the water, you know, water tends to splash up on the sides.
Okay, the president yesterday.
I had a chance to talk to his wife yesterday, and as she put it, she couldn't imagine a better Easter than seeing his safe return.
There he goes, bragging about it again. Grandstanding.
Shane Murphy, a first mate on the ship.
We have the captain. Ultimately, everybody you see here before you today has the captain, Captain Phillips, to thank for their lives and their freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He really is a hero.
And did you see Andrea Phillips? She's his wife yesterday. She had laryngitis.
I just want to thank you for allowing us to come out here in front of like this and make our statement as a family together. I just want to let you know, I spoke to Richard earlier today. And he was kind of finding this funny that when I told him that I was preparing a press statement that I actually have laryngitis. Because he knows that it would be probably very hard for me to be up here and talk to you. So I'm going to look with that. Again, thank you.
Aww.
John in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the pirate situation as well. Hi, John.
Yeah, good morning, Steph and Luke's. Just to let you know, I'm a ex-Navy SEAL, and this was definitely textbook operation. I mean, they couldn't have done any better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people got to realize how hard it is to shoot somebody in the head from a ship and into a little boat that is bobbing up and down. Mm-hmm. It's like shooting a bobber.
And I heard the seas were getting rough, too, weren't they?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is just, I mean, it couldn't have been any better. And I think the right wing would have been better, you know, happier had it been Blackwater going in there, guns blaring, and this guy come out dead along with the rest of them. And, you know, they would have been like, well, all right.
Blah. Yeah, exactly, but, more macho.
But the reason I called was, you know, I think the reason they're all upset is, remember when George Bush said, we have an old saying, wanted dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
They'd probably be better if Obama would have came out, hey, we have a saying in the hood, I'm going to get you, sucker.
Yeah, once again, chill out, mother. I got this. All right, Kim in San Francisco, real quick. Hi, Kim.
Okay, one thing I want to say is that the guy who had the idea about sending a U.S. destroyer out there with marksman, bad idea, because most of these guys, it wouldn't have happened unless the corporations had paid off the insurance money to the pirates in the first place. The reason why we're in this fix is because they didn't address the problem. So I don't want taxpayers paying for corporations' cargo to go through that waterways.
All right, I hear you, honey. Good thoughts. 28 minutes after the hour, back with the president's press conference on the economy, teabagging, and Cuba, and much more. What? As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, she sounds like a class act.
Oh, not at all. No, not at all.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sydney in Los Angeles on teabagging. Hello, Sydney.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm your official bipolar Negro.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you so much. So there's this new movement that I've heard about. I have lots of Republican neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they get on the phone and they call all around the United States their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell them to join the teabagging. And so they reach out to other people, and so the operation is Operation Reach Around.
All right. We just cannot have enough fun with this teabagging story, can we?
Mm.
Could I have my fine American music, please? You know, Jim, most fine Americans think Dick Cheney is a Nimrod, according to this new poll.
Mm-hmm.
Most Americans do not agree with Dick Cheney's recent assertion that President Obama's actions have increased the chances of a terrorist attack against the U.S. The CNN poll suggests most people support the president's plans in Afghanistan as well. 72% of those polled, Jim, that's over 70%, disagree with Cheney's view that Obama's actions have put the country at greater risk. 26% agreeing with the former vice president.
Yeah, who cares what those people think?
Screw them.
And more than two-thirds of those questioned back the president's plan to send more troops to Afghanistan.
Ask me if I give a damn. I don't.
Okay.
You can all go yourselves.
Okay. Obama is allowing travel and money transfers to Cuba. Oh, no. Castro. Robert Gibbs, the president's press secretary.
All who embrace core democratic values long for a Cuba that respects the basic human, political, and economic rights of all of its citizens. President Obama believes the measure he has taken today will help make that goal a reality.
Yeah, I agree. We had to do something different because what we were doing hasn't worked for the last 50 years.
He said the president would like to see greater freedom for the Cuban people. There are actions that he has taken to open up the flow of information to provide some important steps to help that. There are some steps the Cuban government can and must take. With the changes, Obama aims to lessen Cubans' dependence on the Castro regime, hoping it will lead them to demand progress on political freedoms. About 1.5 million Americans have relatives on the island nation. Obama said last May, there are no better ambassadors for freedom than Cuban Americans. It's time to let Cuban Americans see their mothers and fathers, their sisters and brothers. It's time to let Cuban-American money make their families less dependent on the Castro regime. A new way of thinking about things.
What a communist.
Nearly a year ago, Obama had promised to depart from what he said had been the path of previous politicians on Cuba. He said they come down to Miami, they talk tough, and they go back to Washington, and nothing changes in Cuba. He also promised to engage in direct diplomacy with Cuba.
What? That's crazy.
That's gay and French.
Castro.
You know, he's outlasted 10 presidents.
Yeah.
Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, yes. Reagan,
thank
Bush
you.
1.
Thank
Something
you.
Tells me we won't make Bush it to the 2. End of this one.
No.
Yeah.
Did I mention that we have a Senator Al Franken in Minnesota? Did I mention that? A Minnesota court confirmed that Al Franken won the most votes. Like, that's important. In his race against Norm Coleman, who has already announced plans to appeal the decision. After a statewide recount and a 7-week trial, Franken stands 312 votes ahead. He gained more votes from the election challenge than Coleman, the candidate who brought the legal action.
Yes.
As someone mentioned, if Coleman keeps going, Franken will win in a landslide eventually. The overwhelming weight of the evidence indicates the November 4th, 2008 election was conducted fairly, impartially, and accurately, the judges wrote. This is the bipartisan canvassing panel. There is no evidence of a systematic problem of disenfranchisement in the state's election system, including its absentee balloting procedures. In its order, the judicial panel dismissed two attempts by Coleman to subtract votes from Franken over allegations of mishandled ballots in Minneapolis. They also rejected Coleman's argument that his state board improperly made up for a packet of ballots lost between the election. He has lost virtually every motion he has brought up. He is...
Didn't he tell Franken, you know, he should have the decency to step down when it looked like he was winning?
Yeah.
And how about these fun facts? The Minnesota Supreme Court, which would be the next place, the next stop for Norm Coleman, finds that the newest member of the court gave $500 to Norm's Senate campaigns. Huh, that seems like a Minnesota's Supreme Court justices, two of them recused themselves from hearing Coleman's appeal to the state Supreme Court because they served on the canvassing board. They wanted to avoid the conflict of having served on the canvassing board, then serving on the court while they were hearing an appeal in part of the canvassing board's actions and decisions.
Any word on whether this guy was going to recuse himself?
I don't know. One of the remaining justices is a Norm Coleman donor. He made two contributions. They were put toward the very election result, whose result Coleman is preparing to appeal. This seems... conflict of interest to me, not being a label expert of any kind. Anyway, we will keep you updated on the future Senator Al Franken and Norm Coleman, who needs to go to storage room B at this particular juncture, in my
opinion. We're
going
to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
we have some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
All right. Pat in Madison. Am I getting the wrong line here? I think
Pat is still being screened.
I screwed up the phone system again.
No, you didn't.
All right. Let's talk about teabagging again, because why not?
Oh, Lord.
You know, it's being, what the fox? It's being promoted again, Chris, on FoxNews.com. That's weird. I thought this was just a spontaneous internet combustion of sorts. A sort of a, you know, revolution of the people.
That's what Richard Mellon Scaife would have you believe.
Yes, they write on FoxNews.com. Move On is about to be moved over. Why? Because grassroots on the right side, conservatives, libertarians, pro-lifers, homeschoolers, flat taxers, fair taxers, and a host of other causes and crusaders are starting to burn with a white-hot political energy. Brought to you by Fox News.
Over, they're burning with white really? Hot rage over getting a 10% tax cut
apparently.
Under Obama?
Apparently. Plenty of credit goes to the organizers of the nationwide network of tea parties and other expressions of conservative passion, and plenty of ironic credit goes to the Obama administration for stirring up the folks with this lefty policy agenda. Brought to you by Fox News.
Lefty policy agenda. Mm-hmm. Like bailing out the banks.
This is a hopeful little thing at the end of the piece at FoxNews.com. As we've seen, historical cycles have a logic all their own. Great historical forces have a way of producing great leaders and great movements. And so if history is any guide, the GOP will be back in the majority soon enough.
Yeah.
Yes. News.
And Fox News is wishing that the GOP would get back into power? Wow, that doesn't sound very fair and balanced.
That's kind of weird,
does it?
It's almost like a sort of national network that would sort of sponsor and promote and have their personalities appear at anti-Obama rallies, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh. Could I have my fine American music, please? The piece everybody's talking about, Tea Parties Forever by Paul Krugman. He writes, today's GOP is, after all, very much a minority party. It retains some limited ability to obstruct the Democrats, but it has no ability to make or even significantly shape policy. Beyond that, Republicans have become embarrassing to watch, and it doesn't feel right to make fun of crazy people. These parties, anti-taxation demonstrations that are supposed to evoke the memory of the Boston Tea Party and the American Revolution, have been the subject of considerable mockery, and rightly so. But everything that critics mock about these parties has long been standard practice within the Republican Party. Thus, President Obama is being called a socialist who seeks to destroy capitalism. Why? Because he wants to raise the tax rate on the highest income Americans back to, about 10 percentage points less than it was for most of the Reagan administration. Bizarre. But the charge of socialism is being thrown around only because liberal doesn't seem to carry the punch it used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, every night it just, on Beck, it gets worse, doesn't it? Socialist, Marxist.
Fascist.
Happy face fascism. That's the difference.
Yes.
We're marching toward happy faced. It turns out the Tea Parties don't represent a spontaneous outpouring of public sentiment. They're astroturf, fake grassroots events manufactured by the usual suspects. In particular, a key role is being played by FreedomWorks, an organization run by Dick Armey, Jim.
Who better to sponsor a teabagging thing than...
Yes. You need a Dick Armey behind a teabagging like that.
So glad when these will be over tomorrow.
You know his original name, Chris. Only Jim knows that.
Penis Air Force.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. It was Schwanz Coast Guard.
The former House Majority Leader and supported by the usual group of right-wing billionaires and the parties, of course, being promoted heavily by Fox News.
Yes.
But that's nothing new, and the AstroTurfers worked well for Republicans in the past. The most notable example was the spontaneous riot back in 2000, actually orchestrated by GOP strategists that shut down the presidential vote recount in Florida's Miami-Dade County.
The Izod Rebellion, they called it.
Yes.
It was Tom DeLay who was mostly behind that.
For now, the Obama administration gains a substantial advantage from the fact that it has no credible opposition, especially on economic policy, where the Republicans seem particularly clueless. But as I said, the GOP remains one of America's great parties, and events could still put that party back in power. We can only hope the Republicans have moved on by the time that happens. Paul Krugman with it. Another fabulous piece on the teabagging. 42 minutes after the hour, back, hopefully, the president must be walking the puppy or something. He's late for the economic press conference.
He sent someone on to speak before him.
Now he's starting. Okay. We'll be right back with that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. Joining the President's press conference live in progress. We just missed the opening jokes.
During the course of the decade, the formula for buying a house changed. Instead of saving their pennies to buy their dream house, many Americans found that suddenly they could take out loans that by traditional standards their incomes just could not support. Others were tricked into signing these subprime loans by lenders who were trying to make a quick profit. The reason these loans were so readily available was that Wall Street saw big profits to be made. Investment banks would buy and package together these questionable mortgages into securities, arguing that by pooling the mortgages, the risks had somehow been reduced. And credit agencies that are supposed to help investors determine the soundness of various investments stamped the securities with their safest rating, when they should have been labeled buyer beware. And no one really knew what the actual value of these securities were. No one fully understood what the risks were. But since the housing market was booming and prices were rising, banks and investors just kept buying and selling them, always passing off the risk to someone else for a greater profit without having to take any of the ultimate responsibility. Banks took on more debt than they could handle. The government chartered companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, whose traditional mandate was to help support traditional mortgages, decided to get in on the action by buying and holding billions of dollars of these securities. AIG, the biggest insurer in the world, that had a very traditional insurance business that was very profitable, decided to make profits suddenly by selling billions of dollars of complicated financial instruments that supposedly insured these securities. Everybody was making record profits, except the wealth created was real only on paper. And as the bubble grew, there was almost no accountability or oversight from anyone in Washington. Then the housing bubble burst. Home prices fell, people began to default on their subprime mortgages, and the value of all these loans and securities plummeted. Banks and investors couldn't find anyone to buy them. Greed gave way to fear. Investors pulled their money out of the market. Large financial institutions that didn't have enough money on hand to pay off all their obligations collapsed. Other banks held on tight to their money and simply stopped lending. Now, this is when the crisis spread from Wall Street to Main Street. After all, the ability to get a loan is how you finance the purchase of everything from a home to a car to, as you all well know very well, a college education. It's how stores stock their shelves and farms buy equipment and businesses make payroll. So when banks stopped lending money, businesses started laying off workers. When laid off workers had less money to spend, businesses were forced to lay off even more workers. When people couldn't get a car loan, a bad situation at the auto companies became even worse. When people couldn't get home loans, the crisis in the housing market only deepened. Because the infected securities were being traded worldwide and other nations also had weak regulations, this recession soon became global. And when other nations can't afford to buy our goods, it slows our economy even further. So this is the situation, the downward spiral that we confronted on the day that we took office. So our most urgent task has been to clear away the wreckage, repair the immediate damage to the economy, and do everything we can to prevent a larger collapse. And since the problems we face are all working off each other to feed a vicious economic downturn, we've had no choice but to attack all fronts of our economic crisis simultaneously. Now, the first step was to fight a severe shortage of demand in the economy. So the Federal Reserve did this by dramatically lowering interest rates last year in order to boost investment. My administration and Congress boosted demand by passing the largest recovery plan in our nation's history. It's a plan that's already in the process of saving or creating 3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years. It's putting money directly into people's pockets with a tax cut for 95% of working families. It's now showing up in paychecks across America. And to cushion the blow of this recession, we also provided extended unemployment benefits and continued health care coverage to Americans who've lost their jobs through no fault of their own. Now, you will recall that some argued this recovery plan is a case of irresponsible government spending, that it's somehow to blame for our long-term deficit projections, and that the federal government should be cutting instead of increasing spending right now. So I want to tackle this argument head on. To begin with, economists on both the left and the right agree that the last thing a government should do in the middle of a recession is to cut back on spending. You see, when this recession began, many families sat around the kitchen table and tried to figure out where they could cut back. And so have many businesses. And this is a completely reasonable and understandable reaction. But if every family in America, if every business in America cuts back all at once, then no one is spending any money, which means there are no customers, which means there are more layoffs, which means that the economy gets even worse.
He just crystallizes
it so well.
That's
why the government has to step in and temporarily boost spending in order to stimulate demand. That's exactly what we're doing right now. Now, second, I absolutely agree that our long-term deficit is a major problem that we have to fix. But the fact is that this recovery plan represents only a tiny fraction of that long-term deficit. As I'll discuss in a moment, the key to dealing with our long-term deficit and our national debt is to get a handle on out-of-control health care costs, not to stand idly by as the economy goes into freefall. So the recovery plan has been the first step in confronting this economic crisis. The second step has been to heal our financial system so that credit is once again flowing to the businesses and families who rely on it. The heart of this financial crisis is that too many banks and other financial institutions simply stopped lending money. In a climate of fear, banks were unable to replace their losses from some of those bad mortgages by raising new capital on their own. And they were unwilling to lend the money they did have because they were afraid that no one would pay it back. It's for this reason that the last administration used what they called the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, to provide these banks with temporary financial assistance in order to get them lending again. Now, I understand that TARP's not popular, and I have to say that I don't agree with some of the ways the TARP program was managed. But I do agree with the broader rationale that we must provide banks with the capital and the confidence necessary to start lending again.
Can we
That's the
Republican
purpose
response.
Of the stress tests that will soon tell us how much additional capital will be needed to support lending at our largest banks. Ideally, these needs will be met by private investors who are willing to put in money to these banks. But where that's not possible, and banks require substantial additional resources from the government, then we will hold accountable those who are responsible, will force the necessary adjustments, we will provide the support to clean up those bank balance sheets, and we will assure the continuity of a strong and viable institution that can serve our people and our economy.
What a commie.
Of course, there are some who differ with our approach. On the one hand, there are some who argue that the government should stand back and simply let these banks fail, especially since in many cases it was their bad decisions that helped create the crisis in the first place.
Snap.
But whether we like it or not, history has shown repeatedly that when nations do not take early and aggressive action to get credit flowing again, they have crises that last years and years instead of months and months. Years of low growth, years of low job creation, years of low investment, all of which cost these nations far more than a course of bold upfront action. And although there are a lot of Americans who understandably think that government money would be better spent going directly to families and businesses instead of to banks, and one of my most frequent questions in the letters that I get from constituents is, where's my bailout? And I understand the sentiment. It makes sense intuitively and morally, it makes sense. But the truth is that a dollar of capital in a bank can actually result in $8 or $10 of loans to families and businesses.
Yep.
So that's a multiplier effect that can ultimately lead to a faster pace of economic growth. That's why we have to fix the banks.
Mr. Smarty Pants.
He was a college professor. We will talk about this speech with Frank Rich of the New York Times tomorrow. Don't miss it. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Warren, Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.